Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. And if you didn't bring your Bible, praise God, we've got the Word of God always up here. Amen? Just in case you forgot it on your lampstand at home, okay? And so, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Sowing and Reaping. Sowing and Reaping. And once again, I thank and praise God for those who have come out tonight. Tonight is book, chapter, and verse. So we're in the book of Mark, and we're going to expound verses 1 through 20. And I'm asking that God would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. So let's start with verse 1. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. So just imagine, we looked at last week a couple of slides of multitudes that were surrounding him. Now he got onto a boat and was preaching from a boat. Verse 2. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen. He's always saying, listen, hear me. Behold, a sower went out to sow. I want you to catch that because this is what ties in tonight. Because I'm going to ask you at the end of this lesson regarding sowing and reaping. Verse 4. And it happened as he sowed that same seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no crop. Verse 8. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold. Some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. Did you catch that? He who has ears. In the book of Revelation, it says, he that has ears and eyes to see. And so there's a key concept here regarding hearing. You know, I can tell you something, and I can say it in the natural, but when the Spirit of God is saying something, God will speak to your spirit. Can I get an amen? And those who have ears to hear will hear him. Amen. Verse 10. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked about the parable. Why did they ask about the parable? Because, let me just say this, and we'll move on. You and I are blessed people. Why are we so blessed? Why are we different from the unbeliever? Because to an unbeliever, this will always be a parable. This will always be a picture painted. Hallelujah. But for you and I, God has given us the secrets of the kingdom. He has shown us his truth. He has unveiled the truth that we would walk in. Hallelujah. With confidence, knowing that he has the best yet to come for us. Can I get amen? Let's look at verse 11. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in what? Parables. He had to paint a picture to all of them. You ever seen an artist, you know, when he's starting out, and you're kind of like, what is it? What is it? And then as he goes deeper into the painting and the drawing, it starts to unveil itself. Amen? Well, for us, God spiritually unveils it to us. Look at verse 12 here. So that seeing that may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Wow. This has something to do with sin regarding this reaping and sowing. Look at verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? Verse 14, the sower sows the word. Say that with me. The sower sows the word. Amen. Amen. I remember back in the day when we used to go to this Bible study not too far away from Yolanda's mom's house. There was a little tiny ministry there, and she knew the brother, and it was sowing seeds for Jesus. I go, look at this. This tiny little storefront church right off of, is it National? Yeah. Sowing seeds for Jesus. Let me just say this. You and I have been privileged to sow seeds for Jesus. Can I get an amen? Verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside where the so now he's going to explain and go a little further. And so after I read all the way through 20, we're going to go back and expound every verse. Can I get amen? And so then it says in verse 15, yes, that's where we are. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, where they hear, and Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. What? Yeah, that happens. Verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. We're going to look at that. Verse 18. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Man, when you start understanding the heart of man, you'll understand why some are walking with Christ and some aren't. And it goes as closest to your own family members. And we're going to look at verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Wow. Isn't that a blessing to understand? That there's good ground. There's a healthy ground, meaning a heart of gladness. Can I get amen? And so let's go back to verse 1. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that they got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. So saints, again, Jesus began teaching by the Sea of Galilee. And we were there, hallelujah, in April. Weren't we there? Hallelujah. Man, we actually went to the shoreline and we got into the water. Amen. It was a blessing to be there. But just imagine, you know, just try to picture it. It would be something like this, where he would just teach them. And many of them were there with the right heart and for the right reason. But we've seen already in this whole entire first three chapters that there were scribes and Pharisees, which he called vipers and snakes. Can I get amen on that? Oh, they're no longer here, right? Wrong. They're still amongst us. Verse 2. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And so Jesus used so many stories and parables when teaching the crowd, saints. These stories used familiar scenes to explain spiritual truths, because he had to paint a picture for the simple heart. Remember, he was not intellectual. He didn't come with the whole Torah and try to explain Deuteronomy and try to explain Leviticus. I'm sure when you first got saved, you were probably saying, what is all that? It has a whole lot to do with our salvation. Because it was a shadow and a type to come. Can I get amen? And when you start digging and when you start learning and you start growing and you're acquiring the knowledge of God, man, God will illuminate your life. And you'll walk in the knowledge of Christ. Can I get amen? But he's got to do it. So a parable compares something familiar for something unfamiliar. It compels listeners to discover truth, while at the same time, it conceals the truth for those who are either lazy or too stubborn to want to know the truth. And this is why when the scribes and the Pharisees came, he had to rebuke them. They were there for all the wrong reasons, weren't they? Why do you think we got so many denominations? Because we still have scribes and Pharisees today. Oh, yeah, we do. Saints, this story gave a familiar picture to Jesus' audience about a farmer planting with the resulting, the increase, dependent upon the condition of the soil. So in ancient Israel, seed was sown by hand. As the farmer walked across the field, he would throw handfuls of seed from a large bag slung across his shoulders. Similar to this, they still do this today in third world countries. Did you know that? The ones that don't have a tractor. Look at this. That's what they do. They just throw that seed out. Now, when that farmer goes away, or as he cannot stay there 24/7, there's all kinds of things that take place right after that. And the birds up there are looking down. That's dinner and lunch. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is why, saints, when you sow into someone's life, you need to pray and fast for them. Can I get an amen? Yeah, that's right. Especially when you lead a young one to the Christ. Man, I'm telling you, that's when they're most vulnerable. Because anything that was sown into their heart, into their soul, and their mind, here comes Satan ready to snatch the engrafted word that was sown in by faith. That's why he's called the deceiver. That's why Jesus called him the father of lies. Because if he can contort the truth, he's done his job. And so no matter how skillful, no farmer could keep some of the seed from falling by the wayside, from being scattered among rocks and thorns, or being carried away off by the wind. So the farmer would throw the seed liberally. He just tossed it, just like you see there. Here's another phone right here. Look, he just tosses it. And look, you can see there is some ground down there that's rocky. So if a seed falls on the rock, guess what? We're going to look at these scriptures coming up. They're not going to be able to take root. They may get water and they may spring up, but then they're blocked. They can't go any deeper than that. They become shallow. And so, let's move on. In verse 4, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprung up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. See how he's painting a picture here? What the disciples didn't understand, he had to use agriculture to explain the human heart. This is all about the heart. This is all about the issue of the heart. This is why sometimes don't bang your head against the wall when you don't see someone come to Jesus right away just because you sowed a truth to them. You got to wait for that seed to take place. Can I get an amen? We think it's going to happen overnight. Well, if you think it happens overnight, plant a seed in a cup, put water, put it by the window. And if you think you're going to have a flower the next day, think again. It doesn't work that way. And so, there's many types of soils that Jesus was painting. But he was painting the picture of a heart. Wow. So some of the seeds fell on a footpath. The hard and compacted soil of the road made it impossible for the seed to penetrate it. So it sat on top, and as tempting morsels for the birds that came and ate the seeds, these birds said, man, this is lunch today. Matter of fact, this is all you can eat. There was a place, my son and I, on Mira Mesa Boulevard up there. I don't know if it's still there, but there was a sushi place, all you can eat. Man, we were just like that. We swooped down in there and just started chomping. How many love sushi? Well, you better love it. Keep on loving it. You know why? Because when Jesus comes back, he's doing away with the seed. Did you know that? There will be no more seeds when he creates the new heaven and new earth. Where does it say that? Read Revelation. Don't be afraid to read that book. Can I get an amen? Blessed are those who hear and read this word. So enjoying your sushi now. Some of that seed, saints, fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. Unlike the wayside, the rocky places had soil to accept the seed, but not much. And so when it tried to germinate, when it tried to go a little deeper, bam, it hit a rock. And so there was no more nourishment from the soil. So the seed sprung up quickly in the shallow soil, but the sun took the moisture out so rapidly that the young plants wilted. And some of the farmer's seed fell amongst thorns. Thorns robbed the sprouts of nutrition, water and light and space. Thus, when the thorns grew up, the seed was choked out. Choked out. Now, we're gonna look at the issues of the heart, because all that Jesus is painting right here is what happens to people back then, and they're happening to people today. Can I get amen? Nothing's changed. Until Jesus comes and changes us, we're still the same. We're sinful, and we need a Savior to eradicate our sinfulness. Can I get amen? And only the blood can do that. Let's go to verse 8. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears, what? Let him hear. Hallelujah. Saints, I just want to say this tonight as a word of encouragement. I don't know how long you've been walking with the Lord. By the grace of God, for me, I could only speak of my walk. It's been 30 years. And as I studied this week, and as I'm expounding it for your learning and for your listening, God had to remind me is that the heart that God created me to have was a heart where the seed could go in and go in deep. And that's what he's done in your hearts. That's what he's done in your hearts. Listen, you're here because you love the word. You love God. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love the Lord. Can I get an amen? And that yearning, the love for God, is him nourishing you 24/7. Can I get an amen? He's given us his spirit. He's given us his word. He's given us his presence. He's given us his anointing, hallelujah, and he's given us all his promises, and he will fulfill each and every one. How many believe that he has promised you many things, and yet maybe they have not come to pass yet? Can I get amen? Hold on, because he's going to fulfill those. If he's spoken to your spirit, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that he'll bring it to pass, yes, he will. I shared with you for many years. A good 20 of my first saved years, my dad had nothing to do with the Bible or with loving God like we know how to love him. And yet, the seed was sown. The seed was sown. Listen, some of you have many beautiful friends and family that you're still praying for. Hold on. And listen, every now and then, because the word's already planted, every now and then, just go give it a little watering. You know why? Because then God will give the increase. Only He can give the increase. Can I get an amen? And so some of the seed landed in fertile soil, as I'm talking about. This seed had the depth, space, and moisture to grow, to multiply and produce a crop. A farmer would be happy to see his crop multiply even 10 times, 30 times, 60 times, even 100 times would be an incredible yield. For it would mean that even more to the plant and harvest in the year that's coming. In other words, he saw the plentiful coming. And when God brought our hearts to fruition after the Word of God was planted, I don't know who planted the Word of God in your heart, but I can be here all night testifying before I got saved, many that would come and share the gospel. Many on my job, in school, you name it. God was relentless. Did you know that God pursues you from birth? The moment you exit out of your mother's womb, God is already pursuing you. He's chasing you down. And he won't give up. Can I get an amen? He'll bring everything, hallelujah, to your world, hallelujah, to give you ears to hear and eyes to see who he is. And when he quickens you, when he enables you, you will see the cross and you will run to it, hallelujah. That is the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. You know my testimony. I mocked him. Man, I didn't want nothing to do with Christians. I looked at them in school as goody-good-two-shoes. I don't want no part of that life. I just wanted to go and party. Wednesday nights, when they rolled around as an adult, I would look at 8 o'clock right now. Oh, man, I'm just getting ready. I'm just getting showered up. We're going to the Black Angus. Magic Man was playing there. Magic Man is my younger brother. He was a DJ for 92.5. So we would go out there and hang out. That was our life. But when Jesus, hallelujah, comes, man, he will change you from the inside out. Can I get an amen? He'll give you a mind to be saved. He'll give you a heart to repent. He'll give you the empowerment, the boldness to proclaim who he is. Hallelujah. It'll be the providence of God, hallelujah, manifested in your life. Thank you, God. And he does it all by himself. He doesn't need any help. Can I get an amen? He drew you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He did it all by himself. Thank you, God. Yeah, he used many to throw in the seed, and the seed was planted. But none of them can take glory in that. Hallelujah, because only he can give the increase. Can I get an amen? We're just learning right now. There's some that fell on stony ground, some that fell on rocky ground, and none of them came to fruition. Why? Because there was no depth to go in deeper. Hallelujah. But we're here to say tonight, thank you, Jesus, for allowing the Word of God to come in deep in our soul. Woo, hallelujah. He did it all by himself. And guess what? We are now walking testimonies. We're to proclaim to this dying world. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. When the dark gets darker, we as light needs to get lighter. Can I get an amen? We need to get lighter and brighter. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jews, our Jewish friend, and then to us Gentiles. Hallelujah. Man, God thought of you too. He thought of us. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the Old Testament, us Gentiles were considered dogs. And yet he still saved us. Thank you, God. And now he calls us sons and daughters. He calls us our friends. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. And he chooses to use you in powerful ways. Thank you, God. And so never for one moment think that after you sown into someone's life, that it will come back void. Nothing's wasted. All the seeds he gives us, they're not wasted. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Just know, Lord, I'm sowing because you called me to sow. Thank you, God. So let's go to verse 10 here. Look at that. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about this parable. So they were curious because it was the first time that they heard this. They didn't. He's probably saying, what does growing wheat have to do with this? You and I would probably think the same way, huh? Oh, yeah. So when Jesus got away from the crowd and was along with his true followers, the 12 disciples, and the larger group of believers, he had a more intimate question and answer period with them. That's when he pulled them in. You see, when God pulls you in, now he's giving you the ears to hear. Now he's going to unveil truth to you. How many are blessed when God reveals a truth to you? Now, one of the things that God will do, it's called revelation knowledge. Okay? In other words, God's word is already forever settled. Can I get an amen? You can't change, you can't add to it. You can't subtract it. It's already settled forever. But how many times have you gone into God's word and you saw something that you didn't see before? Come on, it's like this. It's like walking into a pitch dark room, and you're walking in like this, and there's things in there, but you can't see them. And then when the light turns on, man, you see the sofa there. You see the lampstand there. Well, guess what? Those things were always there. You just couldn't see it. And that's when I say, when God gave me a revelation, that means something that was in the Word that was always there that I couldn't see. That's right. We serve a mighty God. And so perhaps these close followers did not want to reveal their ignorance about Jesus' word in front of the entire crowd. So they kept asking him, Lord, what does this mean, Lord? So he pulled them. He gathered them. So as soon as they were alone with him, his followers asked him about the stories, just in general. Particular issues regarding the four soils. So, don't you love Jesus? Because he loves us so much, he doesn't keep anything from you. Did you know that? He doesn't withhold truth from you. He wants you to understand his glory. He wants you to understand his grace. He wants you to understand his mercy. And so he had no problem explaining to them. Look at this. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. This was God's intent to save mankind because of the fall, because of Adam and Eve's transgression. Because of their transgression, sin entered into the world. And through one man's transgression, death entered into the world. So Jesus had to come and bring a truth to mankind, to sinful mankind. And so he had all the answers to their questions. He says, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. Did you catch that? As I shared, I got 11 brothers and sisters. There's three of us, by the grace of God. We're walking with him. We're in fellowship with him. We've been born of him. We've got his spirit. Now, will God do the same for them? I'm praying, Lord, in your time, that you will do these marvelous things that you've done for me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Yes. Can I get an amen? Yes. You can't drag someone and take them with you. Can I get an amen? Amen? Because when it's time to go, guess what? They got to let go of your coattail. You can't take them in with you. This is a personal salvation. This is one-on-one with you and Christ and him alone. And so, he said, but those who are outside of all things, it's in parables. Saints, the you too, or it says to you, was the group of his true followers. They had been given a special gift by God, for only they among the crowds around Jesus were permitted to understand the secret about the kingdom of God. They understood, saints, though only partially, the secret that God's kingdom had arrived amongst them. in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was God standing in the flesh. Hallelujah. Just imagine if Jesus, if we were in those biblical times, or if Jesus chose this generation to come. But just imagine to be able to touch him, to hug him, to see him face to face. Wow. But this should be an ongoing desire for us as believers to desire to see him. Can I get amen? Because we've been playing this back and forth on Sunday mornings, hallelujah, that he's coming for those who are looking for his appearing. He's coming for those that are looking for him. My question tonight, are you looking for him? Yes, you wouldn't be here. Huh? You wouldn't be here because you love the Lord. And he has shown himself the beautiness, hallelujah, of a Savior that he is. He is beautiful, wonderful, hallelujah. He's everything that I missed during my youthful days and even my young adult days. But now, man, every day that he gives me, and I'm sure the same with you, is that you are thankful. Thankful for this great and wonderful salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look what Paul wrote to the Roman church regarding this. Regarding how many believe that before you got saved, that the biblical things and the things that maybe you were taught when you were a child, but how many believe that those were mysteries? They're mysteries. Growing up with 11 brothers and sisters, I remember our living room back on Madera Street in Encanto. I think we probably had the biggest Bible on the block. It was huge. It was about this thick, and it was like, it was part of the coffee table. And all I remember seeing just coffee stains on top of it. It just sat there, though, as decoration. It was a mystery. I remember one day, I opened it up. My oldest sister, Liz, she came and she slammed the Bible down. She goes, "Don't read that." I go, "Why?" And she told me, "Because God is angry." I never opened it up again. But it was a mystery. Because Paul wrote it. He wrote it in Romans. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret since the world began." It was a mystery to you and I. No matter how you want to sum it up growing up, no matter what predicament you're in, we didn't come out of the womb speaking in tongues. None of us were what John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the only one on record that was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Well, look at this. "But now has been manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." You see, when we said yes and amen, when he came, and we cried out, and we confessed our sins, and we gave him our life at that time, he then imputed his righteousness on our corruptness. Did you catch that? We were corrupt when we came to the cross. And he imputed his righteousness upon us. That's why we cannot stand in our own righteousness, because it's all but filthy rags. But we stand before a holy God, and when he looks down, all he sees is the blood. Can I get an amen? All he sees is the blood that has covered our sins. Look at that. "For an everlasting God, for obedience to the faith." And he's just looking for a yielding heart to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." My question tonight, what's hindering you from going all the way? You got to put a question mark. What does hinder you? You got to ask yourself, Am I going to totally surrender to Christ? Am I going to allow him to use me in the last days? How many believe we're in the last days? Oh, yeah. Look around. Look at the nation. It's not Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best anymore. Can I get amen? Now they're trying to shove down your throat, the third bathroom. They're perpetrating. They're corrupting our children. For those of you that have been privileged to have children in the days that we live in, please pray. Say, God, provide that either they get homeschooled or they go to a Christian school. Can I get amen? But the public arena right now, my goodness, it's gone down the wayside. So saints, the believers who knew Jesus personally received spiritual insight that illuminated the secret so that it was no longer a mystery to them. Aren't you so blessed that God has revealed his truth to you? Aren't you so blessed to find out that he's not angry at you? I thought he was angry all my whole life, my whole young life. That's why I didn't open up the Bible. Listen, when someone, if you're just spiritually ignorant and not illuminated by God, when someone says God is angry at you, don't read that. Man, it would be like, wow, a scary movie scene. No, I don't want to open it up and see the Llorona. Oh, you don't remember that, huh? So if some of you don't know that one, we'll go there another day. Jesus was aware of the unbelief and the outright hostility, saints, of many of his listeners. The outsiders have not yet accepted the message of salvation and may never do so. This is why you need to pray for the ones that you love. Amen? Some of them may never get it. And guess what? I really believe whether your family members, your friends, your associates, whoever they are that you've sown into in their life, whether they make it or not, when we get to the other side, I believe he's not going to give you a memory of that. Why? Because the Bible says sin cannot enter into heaven. So if sin cannot enter into heaven, that means the thoughts of sin, the thoughts of that former life cannot enter in. Why? It will corrupt you up there. I believe everything's going to be all brand new. It's going to change. And we will be just like him, the Bible says. Thus, for them, everything will remain concealed to those that are outside, especially with these religious leaders and the vast majority of the crowd. All they did was mock him, spat on him. You got to remember when he rode into Jerusalem? They lined up on both sides of the street. Hosanna! Hosanna! This is the king. 3 days later, crucify him. Man, be careful. Because we can praise him in the morning and curse him at night. That's how fast and finicky our minds are. This is why we need to always be in check with Christ. Can I get amen? You always have to have the love of God, the grace of God, the power of God always resting upon you. Hallelujah. And when the temptations come, when the feelings come, when all these things that Satan's trying to put a trap before you, you will have the power of God to resist. Can I get amen? You'll be able to rebuke the devil. How many of you are constantly being tempted? Come on, I'm going to raise up my hand. You know why? And that's a good sign. That means you're doing something for God. When you're doing something for God, here comes the enemy. He wants to come in like a flood. He tries to pour on top of you depression and anxiety, guilt trips. He's trying to put all kinds of emotional distraughtness in your life. Why? Because if he can keep you buried under false guilt and under false shame, then he has basically disabled you. And God is saying, I wanted to enable you to go and sow my seeds with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so Jesus is continually right now in the time. How many believe that these past 2,000 years, it's harvest time? We are, Believe it or not, we are part of that harvest. Can I get amen? The seeds that were planted sprung up. And here we are today, glorifying Him, magnifying Him, praising Him. Thank you, God. How many are so blessed to have midweek? I don't know how, I was raised in midweek. You know, I'm talking being raised in the faith. I can't go from Sunday to Sunday. Man, I need some word in me. Can I get amen? Man, I need to be renewed in my mind. I need the word of God to come and cleanse me and wash me. Hallelujah. It's enough living in the world. But then when the world has a stronghold upon where we live, where we reside, man, I'm here to let you know, because God is with us, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. And so choosing not to believe in Jesus as their Messiah, they would not be able to understand His kingdom. They don't have a clue, even till this day. The parables allowed Jesus to give spiritual food to those who hungered for it. And this is why we're here tonight, because we hunger for His word. Amen? Thank you, God. Look at this. So we go back to Mark 4, verse 12. So that seeing they may not see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Wow. Saying God told the prophet Isaiah that people would see but not perceive and hear, and they would not understand. So, is that a fact? How many people have you sown thus far and shared God's truth, and yet they're still in their unbelieving state? Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Can I get an amen? Pray until their last breath. Because Isaiah said that. And he said, go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but they do not perceive. Jesus was quoting Isaiah. He was trying to explain that to his disciples. God, Jesus would use the word to back everything up. Can I get an amen? And that's what we hopefully do here. Is back everything up with the word. Can I get amen? Amen. If it don't line up with the word, please, please let me know. And when I do this throughout a sermon and you don't get any kind of scripture, please don't come back. Do yourself a favor. If there's no word to back up what you are expounding, God forbid. Can I get an amen, saints? So the story of the farmer was an accurate picture of people's reaction to all of Jesus' stories. He gave many stories. And by quoting from the prophet Isaiah, Jesus was explaining to this inner group of followers that the crowd resembled the Israelites who Isaiah wrote about. They had to keep warning them and warning them that judgment was coming. Jeremiah cried at the threshold of the temple, judgment is coming. All these prophets kept warning them. They kept warning Judah. They kept warning Israel. But they wouldn't listen. They thought that, oh yeah, sure, right. Just like Noah, who warned that Jesus was going to flood the earth, that God was going to flood the earth. Yeah, right, it hasn't rained in over 100 years. What's the guy drinking? They mocked him. And then the rain came. Well, guess what? Jesus is coming soon. And the ark of salvation and the door will close. And all those that will, God will give them a mind to remember you. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Brother Fee talk to you about me? Huh? Oh yeah. No one's gonna be left unscathed. Can I get an amen? But the grace of God. Hallelujah. So Jesus came to the Israelites hundreds of years after Isaiah. But the scenario was no different. The scene remained the same, huh? And just fast forward 2,000 years. It hasn't changed. This is why I pray You heard my prayer. Every service, every message, Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying. What is God saying tonight? Those who are listening on the internet, what is God saying? God is saying, guess what? You're not promised tomorrow. Don't think, oh, well, I can wait till tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. How many believe we're not promised tomorrow? God gives us one day at a time. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not here. But we have today. Can I get it? He's given us faith for today. Oh, yeah. We may have things dotted and jotted on our calendar, but there's no promise that that day will come. Can I get an amen? That's why when you hear a salvation message, the Bible says, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. Wow. Man, sometimes you have to take God literally for what he says. Is that we're not promised. Can I get an amen? Let's go to verse 13. And it goes, and he said to them, do not understand this parable. How then will you understand all parables? How? Saints, people cannot see without the illumination of the Holy Spirit until God quickens someone to give them ears to hear and eyes to see. They're not going to see it. But don't get frustrated. Don't get mad. Why? You ever been to a funeral? And there's a casket right there. And you're paying your last respects. And some go in there, some weep, and some say a few things. But whatever you're saying, there's no dialogue no more. That person's gone. He's dead. Well, that's an unbeliever state. He's spiritually dead. He can't hear you. He don't even see what you're saying. And this is why, until God quickens that dead state, they will remain dead until he quickens them. Because the Bible says he quickened us. How did he quicken us? Through his word. He made us come alive. Come on, ask yourself this. Look at all the years before you got saved, how you were walking in darkness and you loved it. And how many of us even mocked the believers? How many of us, man, I was with the best of them, drinking it up, smoking it up, lining it up, have no regard for God, had no mind for God, because I was in my dead state. But when God quickens you, you come alive. And guess what he allows you to see first? The cross. He allows you to see a son that died for your sins. Man, when that happens, it's because Jesus said, the sower sows the word. So when the word is in there, it will come alive in his time. Can I get amen? How many are so blessed to know that when it was time to waken up from your sleep, you woke up? I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock. A custodian led me to Christ at Horizon Christian Fellowship at 9:30 at night, 30 years ago. I was dead in my sin. And God woke me up. Where did he wake you up at? I heard some folks they were in their living room. And the Lord rolled up on them in the living room. Some of you were maybe at a church setting and you came to an altar. Some were maybe listening to the word on radio or TV. Remember Raul Reese? Who knows who Raul Reese is? He was waiting for his family to come home with a shotgun. He was going to kill them and kill himself. And Chuck Smith was on television. He dropped his shotgun and cried out for forgiveness right there on the spot. And now he has a mega church in Diamond Bar. That's the mighty hand of God. Can I get amen? So in Matthew, Jesus said, he answered and said, he who sows the good seed is what? The Son of Man. Hallelujah. This is why we as born-again believers, when we sow the seed, guess what we're sowing? We're sowing Christ in their life. We're sowing the Son of the living God. We're letting them know this is not a distinct and dead religion. Can I get an amen? He is alive and well. How many believe that Jesus is alive and well? He's alive and well in my soul. There's a song, I believe. He's alive and well in my soul. And so to verse 15 in Mark 4. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts. I've seen this played out in many lives. And I'm not going to repeat their names up here. But I've seen some folks, they hear about the word. They come. Yeah. Oh, my God. And then the next thing that takes place, here comes the devil. And he snatches that word of faith right out of the heart. And they go right back into unbelief. That's why he talked about this parable. He talked about this. The story reveals people's varying responses to the gospel message, saints. The attitude or condition of their hearts would be governed by their response. The word makes no impression on the hard path people. Satan is like the birds of the field. So Satan's there waiting. He's got his dominions. He's got his demons. They're waiting. He's waiting to see that one confess their confession of faith. They can even be baptized. All these things. Wonderful things. And then here he comes. He comes. You know why? Because Satan wants to come before that word can take root. How many of you led someone to Christ and then all of a sudden they weren't in church long? All of a sudden, bills came up. Relationships, man, just, and that's a critical one right there. A relationship will destroy a walk with Christ, especially if it's unequally yoked. That unbeliever will come and trip you up. Oh, yeah. And the enemy will use that. And that's what happens. But let me ask you this. Because the birds of the field is a type of a demonic situation that takes place. Because we don't see in the spirit realm. We sense and we feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we can walk into a place and there's evil there, and we will sense that too. We sense the darkness without even a word being spoken, because God has given us that discernment. Can I get amen? But why is the majority of unbelievers, why cannot they see or hear? I'm asking this question in honesty. Did you know that God always has the answer in the word? Huh? I can voice my opinion, but then there may be something that'll say, well, can you show me that in the word? Yes, I can. Look at that. 2 Corinthians 4:3. And even if our gospel is veiled, meaning hid, it is hid to those who are perishing. Did you catch that? These are the ones that have a made-up mind. I'm going to hell regardless of you. That's what God said. Even if our gospel is veiled, meaning hid, it is hid to those who are perishing. The God of this age, notice little g, it's not capital G. Who's the God of this age? Satan. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They can't see it because Satan has blinded them. They're blind. This is why you and I, our obligation is to sow truth. It's to show them the way, the truth, and the life. It's to present the gospel to them. And wherever it lands, you got to pray. Say, God, I did what you asked me to do. Now, God, it's up to you now. And for some of you, you've came by and you watered it after someone already planted it. Now, he goes on to explain. We're coming in for a close. These likewise are the ones sown on the stony ground who even hear the word immediately, receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. You don't see them again. We just recently had a precious little saint get saved. I'm not going to give her a name. Was testifying what God was doing. And no longer here no more. Why? Because this took place. I know the backdoor situation. So God's confirming. This is what the enemy does. He'll come to stumble a young one. When I say a young one in the faith. This is why it's important, saints, to pray and fast. Can I get amen? How many believe the devil's real? And he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Can I get amen? I'm so blessed. I'm just so blessed that, hallelujah, the good ground set in. And as we come in for the close, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But how many believe that the word of God is the good news? Huh? It's the good news, right? And so we close with this verse here. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Say that with me. Good ground. I'm going to ask this question. Do you believe that your heart is good ground? Oh, come on. Hallelujah. You better believe that. You wouldn't be here if it was on rocky ground. You didn't come here just to get away from someone that's horrible to you, just to be here tonight. No, you're here because you love Jesus. Can I get amen? You're here because you want to be in under the presence and in the presence of God. Thank you, Lord. But these are the ones who are sown on good ground. God has given us good ground. But other people are not like the good soil. They hear, they accept, they produce the harvest. The ones that you see doing that, it has fallen on good ground. The ones that you're seeing tenfold, 30-fold, 60-fold. Listen, I'll be so blessed to have one-fold. Lord, I don't care. All that I've done in 30 years, you know what? Even if you just count one good thing, it's good enough for me. Can I get it? I just want to get in with the smoke behind me. Can I get an amen? Oh, come on. There's nothing you and I to deserve this great salvation other but than the grace of God. The grace of God. If he wants me to be a doorman at the pearly gates, I'll be the doorman. I don't care. I just want to be there. I don't know. I don't want to be tossed into the lake of fire. Can I get amen? And so, these are the true disciples, the good ground soil folks, those who have accepted Jesus and believed his word and allowed him to make a difference in their lives. And I close with 1 Samuel. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. I want you to just apply this to you. Remember we talked about the heart that was after God's heart? Okay. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. He was referring to King Saul, who the people wanted as king. But God said, this guy doesn't have my heart. But I'm going to give him to you. Because all the heathen nations wanted their own king. And so Israel says, why can't we have a king like those other heathen nations have? He goes, okay, I'll give you one. And they all chose King Saul. And we all know he fumbled and stumbled, man, and he came short of winning the game. But God said, I have a man, and he has a heart after mine. So I need you to go home tonight and go, Lord, thank you. Thank you, because you have given us a heart like David, a heart after you. Despite of ourselves, despite of our shortcomings, despite of our sinfulness, we have a heart after him. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this Bible study tonight. We thank you, God, for you have revealed time and time again how good you are, how faithful you are, how gracious you are, how merciful you are to us. Lord, I pray this message will fall on good ground. Lord, that it will take root. I'm praying whoever is listening here or abroad would know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there is none that sits beside you. Hallelujah. You've come to give us life. You come to lay down your life for us. You have come to shed your blood for us. You were received up in glory. In the great exchange, as you went up, you sent the Holy Ghost to live amongst us. And Lord, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will bring in a harvest. Thank you, God, that you've all given us these spiritual sacks that's hanging around our neck. And as we go through life, we put our hand into that sack and we sow the seeds. We throw them out. And we know that what we're throwing out is the Word of God. Lord, I'm praying, God, that you would cause us and use us to bring in the latter day rain, the latter day harvest. And Lord, that you would illuminate, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would empower us. Lord, that you would speak through us. Lord, that our life would resemble you, God, so that sinful mankind can see and hear you operate in our lives, even in the midst of our own trials, even in the midst of our heartaches and the things we go through, that you would still be glorified and magnified and still high and lifted up in our lives. Lord, use us, Lord, in these final days, these final hours, because we know you're coming back soon. And Lord, I pray grace upon my father. I pray, God, that it's any day now that he'll be received up in glory. And so, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the saints of God that have come out tonight. I thank you, God, for those who are listening. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And if you're listening to this message and you've never surrendered, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to pray with you. The prayer, just keep in mind, doesn't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. Prayer is just a tool that he's given sinful mankind here on earth to communicate with the holy God in heaven. And so let us pray with you that you would cry out to God and ask God to come and fill your life with his joy, and that God would have mercy on you. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the